Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You have reached us on this Saturday. Don't seem like already the 18th of July, 2015. You're here at Team Liberty Radio for another broadcast. And this week's show is Government and Religion, a Bad Combination. We are going to have a special guest come on the show in a few minutes. But I'll just go ahead and get my thoughts out of the way and talk about a couple of articles that has come out. Well, one of them come out that I mentioned on last week's show. It is called Democrats Introduce Bill to Ban Husband and Wife as Anti-Gay Words. Gender terms would be removed from federal law. This article was written back on July the 10th, 2015. And a California Democrat representative, Lewis Couts, has introduced a bill in the legislation and is being sponsored by over two dozen Democrats that would do away with terms as husband, wife, and be replaced as general, neutral terms such as spouse or married couple. This is just unfathomable that this is actually going on. Warren Todd Houston, a writer, states that now compulsory gay marriage is the law of the land thanks to the U.S. Supreme Court. Liberals are reaching out from the decision to see where else they can force their gay lobby agenda on the country. But I like to take a moment and clap my hands to the Toledo Municipal Court judge who refused to marry a same-sex couple because of his religious belief. I'm glad to see that judges are taking a stand against this. And he is also seeking an advisory opinion from the Ohio Supreme Court to whether he can opt out of performing gay marriages in the future. This is a quote from Judge C. Allen McConnell, and he is a Democrat. This is what he said. On Monday, July the 6th, I declined to marry a non-traditional couple during my duties assignment. The decision to decline was based on my personal and Christian beliefs established over many years. I apologize to the couple for the delay of their experience and wish them the best. And he's showing the right attitude that us as Christians must show towards gays and homosexuals. I have family members that are gay. I still love them as family. I don't agree with their lifestyle, and that's what we need to show, compassion towards the homosexuality and try to teach them the error of their ways. I know a lot of people aren't going to like my statement right there, but you're in America. We still have a few freedoms left, and freedom of speech is one of them, so let's use it. Let's just not sit back as Christians and not know anything. Let's quit being defensive and be offensive. Go on the attack. Start defending what is ours before it takes on. But the other article I want to talk to real quick is gay marriage. State agency orders Christians to stop talking about their faith. I thought we had a First Amendment right, freedom of speech, separation of church and state, but this right here, this state agency in Oregon ordered their Christians that work in their office that to cease and desist on talking about their faith. Here is a, I'm going to read you some of this article. I'm going to let you listen. This was wrote on July the 7th, 2015. After a Christian couple said they refused to bake a gay wedding cake because they have faith in their Lord, an Oregon state agency ordered them to cease and desist talking about their state. This, they was on a radio show back on February 13th, 2014. And the state agency said they allegedly communicated an intent to discriminate based on sexual orientation. This is a transcript of the relevant part of a CBN broadcast, which is, I believe, the Christian Broadcasting Network. And the couples, A. Klein and M. Klein, I have not found out their name. Aaron and Melissa Klein, I do apologize. This is what this, I do not want to be part of her marriage, which is wrong. I am who I am, and I want to live my life. I want to live my life, and you know I choose to serve God. This is Aaron Klein. It's one of those things where you never want to see something you've put so much work in to get belly up, but on the other hand, I have the faith in the Lord, and He takes care of us. Up to this point, I am sure He will in the future. The couple, Aaron and Melissa Klein, were ordered to pay $135,000 to a lesbian couple they refused to serve as compensation for emotional damages. This is totally, totally, totally against our Constitution, our freedom of speech. Claiming the Klein violated the Oregon's anti-discriminatory laws, Oregon's Bureau of Labor and Industries Commissioner Brad Bacon ordered them to cease and desist discussing their Christian beliefs because they made the following statement on the Christian Broadcasting Network. That is not... Excuse me. The clients have every right to freedom of speech, so we're supposed to bow down to government agencies when they say we're not supposed to talk about our faith? No, thank you. They can say what they want to. I'm going to keep speaking my mind. But to get on with the show, we have a very special guest with us. I'd like to give a little background on our guest. He is Pastor Brian Chilton. He is the pastor of Huntsville Baptist Church. He graduated from Fruitland Bible College in 1998 with an associate's degree in religion, church ministry. Graduated from Gardner Webb University in 2011 with a Bachelor of Science in Religion and Philosophy. And this coming December will graduate from Liberty University with a Master of Divinity in Theology. He is also the host of the Blogcott Network show, Redeeming Truth Radio, and you can catch the show at blogtalkradio.com/Pastor Brian Chilton. And also to keep up with Mr. Chilton, you can catch his website at pastorbrianchilton.wordpress.com. And with his ministry of the website, he is reaching over 77,000 people in 188 nations. Brother Chilton, it is an honor to have you on the show. Welcome.
Well, thank you, sir. It's definitely an honor to be on your show, and good to hear you back as you have relaunched the show, and good to have you back on the air.
It's great to be back, and it don't seem like I've lost much ground. The trajectory angle of when I had to abruptly end the show has continued. Thanks to great listeners and support like you and all the listeners that we have listening to the archive. If you have any questions for me or Pastor Brian Chilton, the calling number is 845-277-9109. And Pastor, I have talked to you. We have actually talked about this show, and I've been playing this show for pretty good about 2 years. And it is seeming that our government is trying to force Christianity out of the government and basically a one world, try to push a one world religion. What's your feelings on that?
Well, yeah, first and foremost, you're talking about, you know, over 2 years, a lot has happened in the past 2 years, and especially within the past, I'd even say, 6 months, things have escalated. In fact, I was talking, I had the opportunity to be on another show this week, and was talking with a lady, and she said that it just seems like things keep escalating, you know, out of control, and it does. But, you know, the one word of encouragement I want to remind everybody is that, you know, the Bible tells us that God knows the end, and, you know, and he has everything under control. You know, things may be chaotic for us, but, you know, we can rest assured in the fact that, in knowing that, you know, he has things under control. But going back to what you were talking about, this is really no surprise. There are things going on in our in the globe right now, in the world, that have never happened before. I mean, for instance, the very fact that the means of which we're using, you know, broadcasting this show by the internet has brought the world together in a way that it's never been brought together before. I mean, it's made the globe itself into a village, so to speak, and so you can, you know, you can get on Skype or something like that and talk to someone clear across the world. And, you know, the good thing about it is that we, you know, we're able to associate with other people and get the word of the gospel out. But the bad news is that, you know, there are others who are using it for, you know, ulterior motives. And so obviously there are things setting up that definitely demonstrate the fact that, I mean, for instance, already I took a business class, and already it's demonstrated that there's a global economy now. And if any big business wants to make a good run of it, it's suggested that they have to be on the global scene. Well, you know, this is no real surprise as you take a look at the book of Revelation and you take a look at other passages of Scripture. You know, it's told us already that there will eventually be this one global religion and one global, seemingly global government, it seems like, that'll take place in the end. And it just seems to me that the more things go along, the more things transpire, the more those things seem an increasing reality to anyone who has their, as a friend of mine said, put their Bible goggles on. If you put your Bible goggles on, you can see these things taking place in an even faster fashion than anyone would ever imagine.
Exactly, and we as Christians, we need to, like I said before, we need to get on the offensive and start taking stands. Yes, like the Klines, they are taking a stand, and I'm proud of them for that, but we need more people like me, you, the Klines out in Oregon, and other people to take a stand and quit being on the defensive and sitting back and saying, if the end of time is coming, God will take care of us all. Well, yes, I believe that the end times may not be that far off, but the Bible says, nor the Son of God will know, or the angels in heaven will know when the Lord is returning.
Oh, absolutely. Only the Father alone knows, and you're right about that. We've got to be about our mission and doing what God has called us to do. And, you know, that's one thing that I've seen here lately that's a great concern to me. Even more concerning than the things going on in government is the status of the church in America right now. And this, to me, demonstrates the fact that we as a church need to find our identity. We've got to go back and, first of all, know what it is we believe. What is it we stand for? What are the core doctrines of the faith? And I wish I could tell you that there were a lot of people who knew core doctrines of the Bible, but there really aren't anymore. And that's why I think you see a lot of Christians who are falling by the wayside, because they don't have that foundation pertaining to what the Bible actually teaches, as opposed to what popular culture teaches. And I also think that, you know, I'm an apologist, which means, you know, I defend the faith. I don't apologize for the faith, but I defend the faith. As 1 Peter 3:15, you know, giving a defense for the hope that's within us. So I think we have to, first of all, know what we believe, and secondly, we've got to know why we believe it. You know, why is it we believe what we believe? And then thirdly, present that. You know, once we're convicted of what we believe, what the Bible teaches us, what we should believe, and know how to defend it, we can't sit on the sidelines. We've got to get in the game. And, you know, Shane, I'll be honest with you. I think apathy is one of the biggest problems of the church today. It's a lackluster attitude, you know, unconcerned about the things that's going on.
And right, and that brings me, actually, I was going to mention to you later on, but since you brought that up, I'm going to go ahead and mention them. That brings back to two of my previous shows that I believe, I know you was a guest on one of them. I think it was the one on Romans 13, Hitler's favorite verse, what he used. But the church apathy, what you're talking about, to me, that brings me back, like I said, to two previous episodes, one on October the 19th, 2012, on a clergy response team. And what that is government preachers coming into the church and giving them the feel-good religion, not telling them about a heaven and a hell and stomping on toads and preaching the truth of the Bible. Tell everybody that it's all milk and honey. Yes, it is milk and honey once you get to heaven, but you're going to go through trials and tribulations on earth. But yet these clergy response team government pastors, they just want to talk about everything but the trials and tribulations. Yes, they'll mention trials and tribulations of Jesus and God, but they won't talk about what trials and tribulations you'll be going through. But the other show I'm talking about is on October the 26th, 2012. Everybody go catch them two episodes, Clergy Response Team, What Is It?, Romans 13, and the Clergy Response Team, How Does It Fit Together? I'm going to re-update them episodes in a future show. But, Brian, have you had a chance to run across any of them clergy response teams as you're going further into the ministry?
Well, you know, I can't say that I have in that regards, but I have found that there are some of various walks that, and not necessarily any that I've been associated with here locally, but I have found that there are individuals who is questionable as to what even they do believe. But this is nothing really new. I took a church history class not long ago, actually one on Baptist history, and there was a great Baptist preacher in London, England, in the late 1800s by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and he pastored the huge Metropolitan Tabernacle there in London, England, which is still in existence today and is still holding strong, holding fast to biblical principles. And he even mentioned in some of his work, some of his messages and writings, how there were individuals who had drifted astray from the core teachings of the Bible, and they were trying to bring a different type of message even then. And he actually disassociated himself with the Baptist Union in the late 1800s due to that issue. And it was very controversial, and actually is one thing that led to his bad health, which eventually led to his death due to the stress and strain of all the things that were associated with that move. But you know, there are always going to be, Jesus tells us, wolves in sheep's clothing. And I think now what you're going to find is you're going to see as times get tougher, you're going to see who's really legitimate and who's really not. And, you know, you can, if you just, and I would even encourage everyone to do this, no matter who the preacher is, no matter who they are, compare their teachings with the Bible. You know, and I'm not talking about little nitpicky things. I'm not talking about little, you know, piddly things. I'm talking about the core essentials of the Bible. And if they line up with the core teachings of the Bible, then you know they're legit. But there again, that requires Bible study, that requires knowing what one believes. And if you don't have that foundation, you know, that's going to be a whole lot more difficult task to do than for someone who, it's going to be more difficult for someone who doesn't have that background or who isn't striving to learn the Word of God and learn what the Bible teaches, as opposed to one who isn't. So, but yeah, I would say that there are definitely individuals out there. There are definitely individuals that's not promoting a gospel that lines up with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's funny you mentioned the health and wellness gospel. I've been reading a book as part of a research project by John Piper where he calls out the health and wellness, the prosperity gospel, if you will, the feel-good religion, and warns people that this is not legitimate. This is not on the up and up, that you need to be careful who you listen to and give authority to your life.
You're right. And with that feel-good religion, you know how much I love the church I go to. If we was to ever get a preacher at the church I go to, which they'll have a hard time trying to push it there, but I would walk out, I would try to talk with that preacher and enlighten them to what they are doing. Let's get back to what the Bible's about, the hellfire and brimstone. And I don't know, it would be a tough decision for me, but I would, if that preacher would not listen, I would probably find me a church that would teach the Word of God as it's supposed to be.
Well, and I would want to warn everybody, too, that, you know, you want to make sure it's something, you know, fundamental. I mean, there are differences between foundational doctrines and secondary and tertiary doctrines, you know. If anyone, in fact, the Bible tells us this, John tells us this in his writings, as does Paul, if anyone, even an angel, comes along preaching a different message than the one you've heard about Jesus, you know, in the Scriptures, you know, with that apostolic authority, that they're to be accursed, because it's not the right, it's not the truth. And, you know, there again, that brings a whole issue about truth, you know, and That's a whole other topic entirely. I mean, you know, because there is a truth. There is, you know, for instance, you know, I'm sitting here looking at my computer. My computer is not a piece of paper. It's a computer. So there's a truth element there. And so it's got to be grounded in the truth of God's Word. It's got to be grounded in what really happened, what really was said. And, you know, truth is knowable. That's the wonderful thing about it. And we've got to be built upon that truth.
Correct. Well, we're running low on time, and folks, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, we're going into overdrive. If Pastor Shilton can stay with us a few more minutes into overdrive, are you willing to do that, Pastor?
Oh, sure. It's a good conversation.
Okay, I'll be glad. I'm going to go ahead. I'll give the call out, the guest calling number. Once we go into overtime, the only way besides the podcast to listen to the show is to call in, and that number again is 845-277-9109. I'll give it again out before we go off the air, but we are going into overdrive with this hot button issue. But to go on a little bit further, how, Pastor Chilton, do you see the government being involved in religion? And in your opinion, how far are they overstepping their bounds? I may be putting you out on a limb here, but hey, I ask the hard-hitting questions.
Well, I wrote down a few comments concerning, you know, a few thoughts concerning the whole SCOTUS decision of the Supreme Court, and this is a good case in point. Now, there is, as you mentioned earlier, a separation between church and state, but that does not mean that there's a separation from religion. I mean, the nation of the United States was built upon the whole idea that we could have freedom of religion. Now, the ruling that was passed, you know, not long ago, with the ruling that was passed on same-sex marriage, the whole issue was, you know, okay, they've legalized this now. How is this going to affect colleges and institutions? And even one of the presidential staff members said this is going to be an issue. Now, I don't see this as being an immediate problem for churches, according to one of the way it was worded, but that's not to say that it couldn't be. And so let me first of all say, and I hope this is answering your question, but through this, churches and pastors have to prepare themselves. And this goes again to what we're talking about, that we've got to know where we stand. We've got to know what we believe. We've got to know our foundation. And so as we talk about the government imposing things, we've got to, first of all, know exactly what it is we believe and have that as part of our Constitution and bylaws, especially if you're in a congregationalist church. you know, most definitely if you're in a congregationalist church, and I would even say that would go for churches of other different type of church governments. But I think it first starts off with knowing what you believe, because nobody can force you to believe something unless you allow that person to force you to believe it, you know, unless you let it in your life. So you first of all have to know what you believe and know why you believe it. And I think this, it goes for marriage, and it goes also for anything else that goes comes down the pipe. But I also would say for churches that you need to have a good church policy set up that demonstrates what your beliefs are. And this doesn't come from me. This actually comes from others who work in law and who works in with different conventions and denominations, that you need to have set in place in your constitution and bylaws something defining your view of marriage, especially if you view marriage as being the traditional biblical version as between a husband and a wife. You need to have something even, perhaps a statement of faith stating this, and you need to have a marriage policy set up in order to do this. And this is just to protect you in the event that there could be a lawsuit. Now, you may still lose. You shouldn't lose, but that will at least allow you some protections in the event that, that something like that should happen. Also, there's a whole issue of personal policies. And Shane, I'll just tell you that I have made a difficult decision in that until there is some type of protection afforded by either the state or the federal government to pastors, that I'm no longer going to officiate any wedding at least for a brief period of time until all this is worked out and until I know for sure that there's some protection out there for me. Now, in Texas, good news is in Texas, there's already a protection. There's an act, I think it's called the Religious Protective Act, I believe is what it's called. I may be wrong, but it provides protection to pastors and businesses. And here again, we've got to write our congressmen, we've got to write our representatives, our senators and whatnot, and tell them that we want protection for our churches for local businesses. And so you've got to know what you believe. You've got to know where you stand. And, you know, the government, there's nothing saying that any type of government can't try to impose something on you. But the question in the end is going to be, where do I stand? What is my ultimate authority? And I go back and read Daniel chapter 3, and, you know, there were three Hebrew individuals, they were taken into exile. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he tried to force them to worship an idol that he had set up. And he said, if you didn't worship this idol, I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace. And here is their response found in verse 16. They said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So as we talk about this issue, we all have to ask ourselves the question, what is my supreme authority? Now, I'm not suggesting, and I know you're not either, that we blatantly rebel against the government, because the government does have some purposes. I mean, and as you mentioned in Romans 13, that's the whole issue of Romans 13, to note that there is a reason. I mean, some government's better than no government. But at the same time, you know, we have to ask ourselves, where is the prime focus of our authority? Who is it that we answer to first and foremost? And that's going to, your response to that will answer how you live your life and how you go about when things get tough.
Exactly. And it's like that, I know it's a song that I like and a song you like, by Aaron Tiffin. He says it perfectly. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Well, folks, we're down to the last 30 seconds of this show. If you want to hear this rest of this episode live, call in at 845-277-9109. We'll be back after this brief break while we switch over or catch to the archives. 845-277-9109. roll title, that music where it's live and overdrive with our host, with our guest, Pastor Brian Chilton. You're joining host Shane LaCroix and Pastor Brian Chilton as we are discussing government and religion, a bad combination. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you my answer to this. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Glad to have you back on this overdrive, Pastor Chilton.
Oh, absolutely. It's a privilege to be on.
It's an honor to have you. But we just got through talking about how the government has become involved in religion. And you mentioned earlier the SCOTUS decision on the gay marriage ruling and how it has affected you. You mentioned that you're going to stop until you find out how it's going to affect. You've decided to stop doing marriages altogether. Did I hear you right on that?
Absolutely, you know, because, you know, it's a situation, you know, the way I see it right now, that's not to say that I still, you know, that any minister couldn't be sued who makes that decision, you know, there's always a possibility. I mean, you can be sued for saying anything anymore. I mean, for heaven's sakes, when you have a guy who sues McDonald's for a hot cup of coffee, then you know, you can literally be sued for anything. And I know there's a debate all you know, over that, but the point is you know, that there's always the potential to be sued. And so at this time, you know, not everything's new in this. You know, there are a lot of unanswered questions in my mind. Some people may think that I've just taken an extreme step, but you know, for me, I think this is a good step, at least until we know something more in detail about what's coming down the pipe.
Exactly. You have to look after yourself in this. That's the first thing. You look after yourself, then you look after everybody else. Me and Pastor Brian Chilton have took a stand on this. Listeners, are you going to take a stand and draw your line in the sand? I'm going to mention every week. We need to make a line, draw our line in the sand and say no more. Are you with us? I know you're with me, Pastor Chilton.
Absolutely. You know, I've spoken with different people, and I think we've even mentioned this too, and I think one way that we can make a difference is to have Christians to get involved in different avenues, you know, especially right now. I would say we need more Christian lawyers. We need more Christian judges. We need more individuals who will even enter politics, if you're crazy enough to do that. But we need individuals who are going to not lose their Christian convictions, but take their Christian convictions with them. Not to browbeat anyone, that's not, you know, what I'm suggesting, but take your Christian convictions and stand for what's right and take it into the public marketplace. That's what we really need.
Right. Plant that seed and hope it gets nourishment, but plant that seed. Don't browbeat, but plant the seed in folks.
Absolutely.
But to get on this, one more thing I want to share with you, and I know we talked about it. I know when I read this article, I was completely shocked about it, and it basically just floored me when I heard about it. I know you're chomping at the bit to talk about this, Brian, but everybody, you won't believe what they have done. And it's time for us to take a blame stand. But the liberals have created a homosexual version of the Bible that will not offend the gays. The group has coined the Bible as the Queen James Bible. I am outraged by this. And pardon me what I'm getting ready to say, Pastor Chilton, but these homosexuals and the people that support this are going to bust hell wide open.
Well, obviously, we want to hope and pray that, you know, that that will have to change before that. You know, and as you mentioned before, you know, we don't want to hate anyone, and unfortunately, a lot of times that's what we've been labeled as doing is hating people, and that's certainly not the case. But yeah, it's of course. I mean, anybody has the freedom. I mean, as we've spoken about freedom. Everyone has the freedom to do anything they desire as far as that goes. But you know, when it comes down to the biblical text, we've got to go back to what the original manuscripts stated. And here again, I think that due to the influx of things like this, we need a more educated staff, at least in the original languages. We need more individuals to learn Greek and Hebrew. And I'll be the first to admit, I've taken an introductory class to Hebrew. I've taken a year of Greek. They're not easy. They're not easy languages to master or to even learn, much less master. But at the same time, I think if we have individuals who have this information and are able to stand upon it and offer good translations of the biblical text, that's important for us to know, you know. And here again, keep coming back to it, you know, it's all about foundation, you know, knowing what it is we believe. And it's undoubtedly, you know, I don't know a whole lot about that translation. I have seen a few, you know, articles about it, but we've got to know what we believe. We've got to know why we believe what we believe and stand for what we believe in. And
exactly.
If we do that, we're not going to be ones who fall for these types of things.
Exactly. And I'm glad you said that. People will say we're talking hate. No, we're trying to educate them what the real Bible says. And I'm going to just read. I found some verses, the King James Version of the Bible and the new gay-friendly Bible. And I just want, this is from the Conservative Post where I found these. The gay group has coined the Bible, like I said, the Queen James Bible. Below are some of the verses that it takes the liberty of misrepresenting. And this verse comes from Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. The King James Version says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." The Queen James Version says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind in the temple of Moloch. It is an abomination." The temple of Moloch? Nah, 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 nah. Nah. The next one is Leviticus chapter 20, 13. King James says, "If a man also lie with mankind as he layeth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." The Queen James Version said, "If a man also lie with mankind in the temple of Moloch, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death."
I tell you what's going on there. The way that's being interpreted, and I didn't know that until you posted it, but it makes sense. The way that's being interpreted is instead of the act of sodomy, they're using the phrase to mean temple prostitution, and so that's how it's being twisted. That's how it's being changed, and that's actually how some people interpret those passages of scripture. To allow for same-sex relationships by seeing it not as the act, but as an engagement in temple prostitution.
Well, listen to these from the website that promote this book. Listen to this, Pastor. "The Queen James Bible resolves any homophobic interpretations of the Bible. We wanted to make a book filled with the Word of God that nobody could use to incorrectly condemn God's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender children, and we succeeded. yes, you succeeded in sending them on a one-way ticket to hell, pardon me. But,
our hope is and desire is that, you know, people would come to faith, come to Christ. And you know, obviously there are some people, a lot of people who struggle with different issues. I mean, it may be this issue, it may be a different issue. And so, you know, the hope that we have is that a person will, you know, accept Christ and be transformed, you know, by Christ and have a fruitful life that God has established for them. Because, you know, there's a great blessing in doing things God's way. There's a great blessing in having, you know, biological children. I mean, you can't have that in a same-sex relationship. Matter of fact, I even heard one person say one time before that every person's existence is a case for a man, you know, a relationship between a man and a woman, because we couldn't be here if it wasn't for that. You know, so, I mean, obviously, you know, there again, we're not trying to hate anyone. We're not trying to, bash anyone or anything like that. But we want to, mainly what we Christians are asking for by other people is to afford us the same rights to disagree that you offer anyone else in any other topic. You know, we talk about, you know, tolerance. You know, the whole issue of tolerance is allowing us to disagree on issues without condemning us as bigots or condemning us as, you know, being one thing or the other. I mean, and I think that's what, you know, that's a really Christian virtue, if you ask me, to be able to in all things have charity, even through our disagreements and all.
Exactly. Exactly, Pastor Chilton. And once we speak about this issue, we're called home of fear mongers. No, we're trying to educate people. Yes, some do take it to the extreme. It's called gay bashing. They say we're gay bashing. No, we're trying to educate them on the error of their ways. Yes, none of us are perfect, but we are forgiven of our sin. Lord knows I've made my sin, but I'm blessed that He has forgiven me of my sins. And this one world religion being pushed, the gum is leading us. Look at examples from the Bible, ancient Rome, all I gotta say.
Absolutely.
Well, Pastor Chilton, we're running low on time. We're in the last 2 minutes of overdrive. Do you have any other comments you'd like to make before we go off the air?
I just want to thank you again for the opportunity being on. I just want to remind everybody, you know, as Christians, you know, we're not trying to condemn anyone. We don't hate anyone. We're just really trying to stand for our convictions and what Scripture tells us. And we just ask simply for the rights to be able to live in peace, to be able to have our convictions and go about our business preaching and teaching the Word of God. And, you know, it's, again, not that we hate anyone. You know, we just want to be able to have the rights to go about and worshiping the way we feel that we're called to do. And that, to me, is something that if anyone is in the right state of mind, you know, should understand, you know. And for the Christian, I would just simply say, you know, times are tough. They may get tougher. But, you know, we can hold on to God, the God of the universe, who has everything in the palm of His hand. He knows everything that has happened, is happening, and will happen, and He will bring all things to a good end.
Well, for Pastor Brian Chilton, visit his website at pastorbrianchilton.wordpress.com, and also check out his shows. When did you have the shows, Pastor Chilton?
Normally we're live Mondays at 12 noon Eastern Time.
Okay, thank you. And that address is blogtalkradio.com/PastorBrianChilton. We'll catch you next week, and thank you, Pastor Chilton, for being our guest for this show.
Anytime.
Well, you have heard Pastor Brian Chilton. Catch us next week. I believe I'll probably have to move the show to Sunday next week due to work, but check our website. Make sure.